الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the most important mechanisms by which a person can advance in anything that they do is to maintain consistency. And without consistency, it's very difficult to progress. Everyone knows that if you are a student in college or high school, or even junior high for that matter, in order to succeed, or why don't we say it this way, the most successful student is the one who maintains consistency. We all tell our children, make sure that you review every single day. You should prepare for class before you go. You should not try to cram before the test. These are all basic principles that everyone accepts in our society. When a person wants to save for something very important in their lives, then all the financial planners tell them the same thing. Save a little bit every day. Because if you save a little bit every day, a little bit will go a very long way over time. This same principle is true of our deen. If a person wants to progress in deen, they can take advantage of the big opportunities, but they also need to be consistent with the small opportunities. So, of course, we had this month of Ramadan, and this month of Ramadan was not a big opportunity, it was an amazingly big opportunity, it was the biggest opportunity. But once this month leaves, the challenge will be to maintain some of the things that we're doing. And I think that as we come into these very last few days of Ramadan, and now we're literally talking about the last few hours of Ramadan, very important to think to ourselves, what do I want to have in my life, and how am I going to make a consistent effort towards it? This is a training month. This isn't a month that we worship and somehow at the end of the month, when the month disappears, we automatically, if we worshiped in this month, then we've automatically succeeded. Yes, there is a degree of success that's obtained, but the reality of this month is that we need to carry what we do in this month outside of this month. Are we going to be able to carry every single thing that we do to the extent and to the degree to which we do it? No, that's not possible. There's a barakah in Ramadan that can't be replicated outside of Ramadan. There is a constriction of shaitan that occurs inside of Ramadan that is not replicated outside of Ramadan. There is a continuous fasting of Ramadan that is not going to be replicated outside of Ramadan. So many of the winds that are at our backs are not going to be present outside of this month. But certainly, we can identify a few areas in which we can create some degree of consistency so that we establish a foundation that will allow us to be able to maintain us to a certain degree. And hopefully, by doing that, we will have prepared ourselves to be able to take advantage of the next opportunity to a higher degree. Meaning, Ramadan is not about, I mean, Ramadan benefits everyone, but Ramadan really benefits the one who prepared for it. There's a few types of people. There's one person that completely, was just kind of like walking and all of a sudden Ramadan hit them in the face. That's kind of person A. And they benefit from Ramadan. That's the nature of Ramadan. It will benefit them. And then there's another person that kind of partly prepare for Ramadan, partly don't. And then Ramadan kind of comes upon them, but they're not ready. And then there's a third person who literally spent 11 months planning and thinking, Ramadan is going to come. I need to be ready. I need to present myself. I need to be able to take a huge opportunity to gain during Ramadan. And that's the person who's going to benefit the most. That's the person that's going to benefit the most. So we want to think about, as we leave this month of Ramadan, We want to think about, one, how can we maintain some of the gains? And two, how can we establish a foundation that will allow us to be able to take advantage of not only Ramadan, but every Jummah, every other gathering that we attend, every circle of learning that we sit in, every gathering of dhikr that we participate in. All of these things, they should be things that have a, all of these events should be things that have a lasting benefit upon us. It shouldn't be that we hear the same hadith 30 times and we have yet to practice it. There should be an effect upon our hearts and we should be moved by these things. But the problem is that a lot of times we haven't done the laid the groundwork necessary to be able to build a foundation. How can a person build any kind of structure if the foundation is not in place? So this, as these days of hours of Ramadan, days, last days and hours of Ramadan come upon us, very, very important to have a plan. Very important to have a plan and say, here are some basic things that I'm going to do. And make it one or two or three, make it a few, make it, you know, you'll decide for yourself. This is a personal thing. But I will say that, you know, one of the things that we've always recommended and I'm going to remind everybody of today is it's really important to have some consistent routine of dhikr. Very important to have some consistent routine of dhikr because without dhikr, the foundations of everything that we do are completely lacking. The purpose of our creation is to do the dhikr of Allah. And the dhikr of Allah forms the foundation for the sharia that we participate in. So let me just say that every person, well, let me say it another way. We have two components to ourselves. We have a body and we have a soul. And I'm not worried about anybody's body in this room because, subhanAllah, we are just in such a state that everyone's body is relatively fine, aside from the problem of being having too much. Maybe the problem there is excess. But just like the body needs to be fed and nourished in order to maintain its health, so too does the soul need to be fed and nourished in order to maintain its health. And the food of the soul is the dhikr of Allah. One of the foods of the soul is the dhikr of Allah. So all of us should make a commitment. And the number one dhikr of Allah is the Qur'an. This we cannot skirt this one thing. It's like when your child says, you know, you say, did you eat dinner? And they say, well, you know, I had a candy bar. You say, no, that's not dinner. Did you eat dinner? Well, I had some chips before I had the candy bar, I feel full. And you say, no, that is not dinner. You need to have dinner. Why? Because dinner has some essential nutrients that are required for a growing body in order for that body to attain its full potential. So the meal of Islam is the Quran. That is the meal. Without that, everything else is not going to sustain a person. So all of us should make a commitment to the Quran. And we should be consistent, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, pick a time. Pick a time, an honest time. Ask ourselves, how much time do we really have in a day? How much time do we dedicate to you know, all the other pursuits that really don't benefit us at all? And how much time can I take and devote to the Quran? In Arabic, just a recitation. Not making it an academic exercise and reading the words of what other people said about the Quran. That's separate. Do that on your own time. Just engage with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because every word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a ayah. It's a sign. It's an engagement with Allah himself. So this is something that all of us should make a commitment towards. Beyond that, we should make istighfar every day. We should make salawat every day. We should remember Allah in our hearts every day, etc., etc. These are all the standard routine that we've been talking about continuously for so many years now. As far as how to bring this into our lives, or how to bring anything into our lives for that matter, I think it's very important to appreciate that things don't just show up. That's not the way we work. We don't just magically bring something into our lives and like it's a cut and paste, you just cut it from one area and paste it into another. That's not the way that life works. That's not the way that humans work. The way that we bring things into our lives is to attach them and anchor them to things that already exist. So it's really important when we want to think about how to establish our routine to really go back first and say, what are the things that are already in my life? And how can I attach what I want to bring to those things? For example, maybe you say to yourself, I would like to make 100 istighfar and 100 salawat in a day. And I would say that's a laudable goal that is established by the sunnah. So then how will I achieve that? So you can say to yourself, well, I know I pray my five prayers. Let's make an assumption that the person prays their five prayers. I know I pray my five prayers, so I'm going to make a very firm rule for myself that I am not going to get up from the musalla, wherever I may be, work or in the masjid or at home. I am not going to get up from the musalla until I read 20 istighfar and 20 salawat. Now that 20-20 is literally a 4-minute job. It's a 5-minute job. You can try it and see for yourselves, especially if you happen to be in the masjid during these times. You can try and see. But by doing that, what happens is 20 becomes 40, 40 becomes 60, 60 becomes 80, 80 becomes 100. Each day passes, 100 becomes 700 in a week, and 700 becomes 3,000 in a month. So what apparently seemed to be so difficult becomes very, very tangible. What seemed to be distant becomes very tangible by simply attaching it to something that already existed in our lives. And that's the way by which a person makes long-term progress. You first identify what's already there, and then you attach what you want to what's there. For example, if you say that I'm going to engage with the Quran for 20 minutes a day, you identify a relatively stable feature of your day. For example, if that stable feature is dinner, let's say. I mean, I know nowadays even that doesn't happen anymore, you know, as a family, but let's just assume for a moment that there's dinner as a family and everybody sits down and we know we're going to have dinner. So you make a rule for the whole family. You make an agreement, not a rule. You don't impose on anyone. You make an agreement. You sit down with the family and you say that, okay, look, we have dinner every day. Sometimes it's 7:30, sometimes it's 8, whatever it might be. After dinner, we're going to spend 10 minutes clearing out the kitchen, and everybody is going to go into the musalla of the house, and we're all going to spend 20 minutes reciting Quran. Now, what was already an established routine of dinner, and if it wasn't there, maybe dinner needs to be established, but what's already an established routine becomes an extended routine, and it becomes far easier to establish than to just say, okay, everyone, we're going to do 20 minutes of Quran, but we have no idea how, when, where, etc. So this is the key secret to establishing a routine. Now, globally, you know, we're so fortunate. What makes the Muslim so fortunate and so relatively structured is that our day is already established. You know what I'm saying? The pillars are there. You have Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. These are set. These are non-negotiable. Nobody has to think about them, talk about them. These are a done deal. For any Muslim, these are going to be a done deal. So it means that we're already 90% of the way there. Because if you didn't have these, then what kind of pillar, what would you be able to attach anything to? Now you're attaching it to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay, those do exist in many people's lives. But still, they're not as set as these things, and they don't bring in that barakah that prayer brings in. When a person finishes praying, they've reached a certain pinnacle, and there's a barakah that trails that prayer. So we should, number one, pick a few things that we're going to commit ourselves to. Pick, each person can decide for themselves, and everybody's at a different level. Maybe I'm not consistent in my Quran, but I am consistent in other things. Maybe I'm not consistent in my muraqabah, but I'm consistent in other things. Maybe I'm not consistent in my istighfar and salawat, but I'm consistent in other things. So we'll identify on a personal level where I can make an improvement. And then after identifying that, the next step is to say, okay, now that I've identified this, I am going to make this commitment for the next Ramadan. Start with the Quran, see where we can place it, move to the istighfar and salawat, see where we can place it, move to muraqabah, see where we can place it, and then maybe, if you have time, you can identify other things, such as listening to a lecture or pursuing some type of knowledge, etc. Those are all important, but these are the core things. These are the core things that every Muslim should be doing. So I think that, see, that today it's easy because we've cleared out the space. You know, like you already tore down the fountain. You already tore down the old building. Because that's what Ramadan does. We got rid of all that junk that was there, and we got a little bit of a reset. Now there's a little bit of space to make some decisions. You know, normally the schedule is so packed and we're so diluted by our own, quote-unquote, you know, running, that we don't even find a space to do anything. If you sit down and tell somebody, spend 20 minutes reading Quran, they'll tell you, where can I find 20 minutes? I'm so busy, I'm running like a chicken with no head. Here, we've cleared out a lot of space. That's one of the beauties of fasting. It's really slowed us down. It's removed some of the excess. It's cleared out some space. It's cleared our mind. So now you don't want that when you go back. Shaitan can fill the spaces with garbage. And shaitan is really good at finding every empty space and filling it with garbage. This is basically the job of shaitan. Find every open second in this millisecond. He goes by millisecond. Find every open millisecond in a person's life and fill it with some filth or another. So before Ramadan ends, where there's this open space, better we fill the open space in our schedules and in our understanding of what we're going to try to achieve, rather than wait till after Ramadan, and then shaitan will easily come and fill it because we didn't. So this is a very core principle of anyone who desires to advance themselves. Find what the next step is going to be. Identify the openings. Attach these things to the openings, and then that will make us consistent. Now, does that mean that we're going to have the himmah throughout? No. So you have to identify one more thing, which is, where am I going to gain my inspiration? That is also just as important as, what do I want to do? Where am I going to gain my inspiration? Am I going to gain my inspiration from the local masjid? Fine, connect ourselves to the local masjid. Am I going to gain my inspiration from a particular person or a particular gathering? Fine, connect myself to that gathering. It doesn't matter what it is. It just needs to be something that inspires us. Literally, it could be anything. You can go to Masjid X, you can go to Activity X, you can go to Masjid Y, you can go to Activity Y, you can go to Person Z. It just needs to be something that is going to inspire us to keep up with whatever we commit ourselves to. So we have two main responsibilities before we close out this few hours of Ramadan. Possibly this may even be just be the last hour of Ramadan, who knows. But we have two main responsibilities. Number one, think about how we're going to fill this open space that we've created, that shaitan has vacated. This is essentially open real estate to do what we want with, and we should decide today what we're going to do with that. And number two, find out where we're going to gain our inspiration and connect ourselves to that and commit to that. Now, for the brothers in i'tikaf, you've had a very unique opportunity to be able to clear out a lot of space, to be able to come to a tremendous degree of sense, and to be able to figure out where you're going to be inspired. So you have to start thinking about these things, like, I'm going to leave here, how am I going to maintain all that I gained? Again, you're not going to maintain every single bit of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly maintain all the rewards that you attained in this time. You won't be able to maintain every single bit of it outside of Ramadan, but at least it shouldn't become some distant memory. At least it shouldn't become some distant memory. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be consistent in our routine, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to find inspiration to maintain ourselves. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.